proceed to the fifth case, appeal number 05-1642, United States versus Sarakhan. Mr. Shostak.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. A reversal of this case, which we seek, does not mean that we are requesting this Court to do anything foolish, nor are we asking it to hand over the institution to the inmates, nor are we asking the Court to endorse some rampant lawlessness.
Why wouldn't that be if the ultimate argument, as I see it here, is that this place is so dangerous that everybody ought to be allowed to carry weapons to protect themselves?
They just about do, Judge. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at it from the standpoint of the inmate, which few people view the case from, you see a different picture than the one that is actually portrayed. The evidence in this case showed that in 1999...
Would the ultimate result of a decision in your favor here be that the inmates are allowed to be armed?
No.
Why not?
The ultimate result in this case would be that if an inmate is accosted, if an inmate uses a weapon, if an inmate is charged, as Mr. Sahakian was in this case, and he wants to use necessity as a defense, then he at least ought to have the jury to pass on whether or not he's entitled, that defense is a viable one. I don't see that. Two inmates arguing in a yard, one comes to the other one with a shank, and the other one knows that a shank is hidden in a crack in the sidewalk and grabs it to defend himself. He now possesses a weapon illegally. Why shouldn't that be? If the Bureau of Prisons cannot contain all of the knives and all of the shanks that all of these inmates have hidden, and there were 71 hidden that they found in 1999, and the number is 71X, because the X is all of the shanks that were available that weren't found.
Over how many months?
Over.
Do you mean during a whole year or at one inspection?
No. It, as far as we could tell, Your Honor, that was found over a period of a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now,
so
I'm sorry, Judge Williams.
I mean, clearly the conditions in our prisons are deplorable, and Marion is probably the worst. But you, at the very least, want us to reverse Tokush, which was a Seventh Circuit case that had virtually identical facts in terms of where the weapons were hidden, and
with all
and then the
respect.
Bottom line is, as Judge Evans says, is that everybody there is in fear. Everybody there has been threatened with the gangs and everything going on. It would allow everybody to be armed with a weapon in the event that there was someone that jumped them. I mean,
except
that's the bottom line.
Except that in Tokash there was no evidence. In this case, there was a trial of over six months. In this case, there is no question that Mr. Sahakian has a hit on his head. He has a contract out for him. There is no question that there were all of the skirmishes, all of the battles, all of the knifings that took place, all of the violence was shown in evidence, in which there was none shown as such in evidence, except the presentation which was made by Mr. Tokash, Mr. Coleman, Mr. Usher.
But then in that Tokash situation, the court spoke about the fact that even if the future attacks and fears of future attacks were well-founded, by definition it was an imminent danger.
Well, the question is, what do you mean by imminent danger? Imminent danger is we stand in this real world is not necessarily imminent danger when you try and apply the law to what takes place at Marion. Do you understand, Judge Williams, that when you're in a row of cells and the grill is blocked off from the range, that guards can't get to anyone
who is in there? Yeah, I understand how Marion operates. Right. I understand.
Okay. That being the case, until a whole mass of people come to help somebody, the prisoner can't do anything to help himself. And under those circumstances, which we showed...
Well, did he ever ask, isn't protective custody available at Marion?
Yes, Judge. Protective custody is available at Marion, and everyone assumes that you automatically get into protective custody with the snap of a finger, but it doesn't happen that way. It may be a month, it may be less than a month, it may be more than a month in which protective custody is granted to somebody if they want it. And if they do want it, there is no guarantee that the person who is in protective custody won't get hurt by the very same thing that can hurt you if you're not in protective custody.
Well, when you go into protective custody, you have to identify who you feel your enemies are. I mean, that's one of the conditions of getting in protective custody. And
yes, ma'am.
I think at Marion it's a setup where you're in your own individual cell. Or if you're jailed with someone else, it's with someone who's not someone you've identified. I understand you can't know everything about the person you get housed with, but that's the premise upon which it's based.
Judge Williams, I'm not a Marion penologist, but I can tell you that my understanding of protective custody at Marion is that you are sent in what effectively is segregation. You're in a hole.
Right.
Yeah, plain and simple, you're in a hole and you're segregated. And I think that the showing that we made was sufficient to send the issue to the jury. And I believe that when you consider the fact that there was a hit, that there was and is a hit on Mr. Sahakian, that there were movements made by Captain Benson to put whites with blacks, black with whites, with others, with Latinos in the institution, which would cause problems. When you get all of that together, and you take a look at what the evidence was in the record, then I think you should come to the conclusion that at least these prisoners might be entitled, because the Bureau of Prisons apparently isn't doing it. And I don't think that you are just giving all the prisoners weapons to defend themselves with. I see my time is up. Thank you.
Mr. Kupchin?
Your Honors, may it please the Court, Mr. Shostak. The law of the Seventh Circuit, as it applies to the issue before the Court in this appeal, is well settled. More importantly, it was recently reaffirmed, as the Court has recognized, in United States versus Tokash, a companion case to this one, in which the facts are essentially indistinguishable. The attempt to distinguish that Mr. Shostak made is unavailing. Essentially, what he says is that in the case of Tokash and the companion defendants, Kolb and Usher and Dent, that all we had before, all the Court had before, was allegations in an affidavit, whereas in this case the information came out in the course of a trial. The facts don't distinguish in any significant way, though, because what the facts would have to show in order for a necessity defense to be available would be that there was an imminent threat. And there are no facts in the affidavits or in the trial itself that would indicate.
Let me ask this question, because I think this is what his argument boils down to when you put everything aside. If the guards fail to protect prisoners against violent attack, why is it just to prosecute them for seeking to protect themselves?
Your Honor, there's no evidence that the guards do fail to protect the inmates when they're made aware of the threat. In the case of the court asked Mr. Shostak about the availability of protective custody, and this is not a theoretical possibility in Mr. Sahakian's case. As the record indicates, he was specifically asked if he needed protective custody and wanted protective custody. If the court would look in the record at document 65, Exhibit E, Ray Metters, who was the captain at the time, of the institution, of the custody side of the institution, specifically called Mr. Sahakian as well as Mr. Tokash and others in. And Mr. Sahakian told Metters that he would rather be labeled as a child molester than go to protective custody because to do so would label him as a snitch. He told his unit manager, Kevin Murphy, who's now the executive assistant at warden, executive assistant to the warden at Marion, again in document 65 in Exhibit E, that he would throw, quote, piss and shit on anyone who attempted to place him into protective custody. Now, if one was really concerned about their safety, if they really thought that they needed protective custody and that there was a hit out on them and that they were in imminent danger, I don't believe that that would be the response to the prison officials who come and ask if he would be if he needed protective custody. The fact that Mr. Sahakian didn't want that, that it would label him as a snitch or somehow make his conditions of confinement more onerous if he were to have taken the prison up on that, is of no moment. As this court said in United States versus Haynes, which is 143 F3rd at 1090. An inmate must use available lawful options to avoid violence, even if they find those options unpalatable. Mr. Sahakian did not wind up at Marion through a run of bad luck or by mistake. Mr. Sahakian is there because he is a violent inmate. To suggest that somehow the institution or that inmates themselves would be more safe if they were allowed to arm themselves is really quite ridiculous. The fact, to the extent that prisons today are dangerous, they're dangerous because of the populations that make them up. There was no imminent threat to Mr. Sahakian, as evidenced by the way that he concealed his knife. Remember, this knife was concealed inside of his body, and it took him 15 minutes to get that, as reflected on videotape, to get that knife out. The example that Mr. Sahakian gave, that an inmate picks up a knife in a yard and to repel an attack, that may well be a case where necessity could be a defense based, you'd have to be evaluated in light of the other evidence, but that's not the case that we have here. We have an inmate who was in his cell by himself with a knife inside of his rectum. That is not a case in where there was an imminent threat. In addition, equally fatal to his attempt to assert this defense would be the fact that there were reasonable legal alternatives, such as protective custody, such as filing even a grievance or a complaint through the well-known inmate system of doing so. Mr. Sahakian did not do those things, and for him to argue now that the violent conditions that he, as a leader of the Aryan Brotherhood, who this court has, the Aryan Brotherhood has been identified by this court as a singularly vicious gang, for him to assert that the violent conditions that he helped create should somehow be a shield or a sword for him to be able to assert this
or
defense.
Or shank,
exactly, Your Honor. Pardon the pun. For him to assert that somehow gives him the right or the ability to carry a knife in prison is really quite ridiculous. If there are no further questions, the government would rest on its brief.
Mr. Sahakian doesn't assert anything. I assert for him that whether he is a member of a gang or not, whatever he did, and he got put in Marion, and they are the worst of the worst. The record shows that. There's no question about him. I've never argued to this court that any of the people involved in the cases were some sorts of choir boys. The fact of the matter is that they are there. I can best tell you, in relation to what the government is saying, that the best argument was made in the Bailey case in the dissent by Mr. Justice Blackmun, which I think begins on page 419 and goes to about page 421, in which he lays out the difference between the ideal world in which the government wants us to live and the real world in which the people at Marion live. I only have this question, and it's one that has haunted me throughout this case, and I have been on this case since 1999. The question really is, how reasonable is it for Mr. Sahakian to believe that he's going to be protected, or members of a gang which they say he belongs to is going to be protected?
Well, it's not by, they say he belongs to. There is no question that he's the Aryan Brotherhood. Isn't it?
Well, let's just assume that that's true.
Well, that's an established fact, isn't it?
Let's just assume that that's true, okay? Let's assume he's a member. I guess, what reason does he have to believe that the BOP is going to protect him when they clearly are out to eradicate him and the gang? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Shostak, you were appointed here, were you not?
Yes.
You have the thanks of the court, all of the judges on the panel, for taking the assignment and doing such a vigorous job on behalf of your client. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we now go to